Heavenly Father, Creator of the universe, we come to you this morning with our hearts open so that you will come into our hearts and fill it with joy. We pray for everyone who has come today here, and we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will descend upon us so that we will be true witnesses of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning and happy Sabbath. Have you ever had a bad day? Have you? Of course, I don't even have to ask for a show of hands, because some of you will say not a day, but a whole year. Maybe a whole week. Some people might go even further and say, well, my whole life has been bad. I know people like that. I know people who have had very tough life. And yet, it is true that in all of this, they see no way of escape. It is amazing how Christ gathered his disciples one by one based on the promise of restoration, salvation, a new kingdom. Those disciples, they left everything they had, houses, family, jobs, and they followed Jesus Christ. They follow him. And I want you to take your Bible with me, because I'm going to be very creative this morning with my sermon here. And open your Bible in Luke chapter 24, the book of St. Luke, chapter 24. It is the last chapter of that book. And I have to tell you that it's a chapter of hope. It's a chapter of is the evidence of trust. What happened there? I want you to read carefully with me verses 1 to maybe 4, and then it says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women, it's talking about some of the disciples, with spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone roll away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly disappointed about this. So behold, two men stood by and in shining garment, and say to them, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they say, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. The night of that first day of the week has gone slowly. The darkest hour just before daybreak came on. Christ was still a prisoner in his narrow tomb. The great stone was in its place. The Roman seal was unbroken. The Roman guards were keeping their watch. There were unseen watchers there, hosts of evil angels gathered about that place. But heavenly hosts surrounded the sepulcher, waiting to welcome the Prince of Peace. The earth trembled, the angel descended, Gabriel, as the Lord hath commanded him. And the earth trembled as he approaches. The hosts of darkness flee, and he rolls away the stone. The soldiers see him removing the stone, and they hear him cry, Son of God, come forth. Thy father calls thee. Now I want you to picture what happened with the disciples. There was great uncertainty in their hearts, perplexity, perhaps the accusation that was coming after, that they have taken the body of Jesus and hide it so that they can say and fulfill the prophecy that he was going to be risen again. Trouble seems crawling upon trouble. On the sixth day of the week, they have seen their master die. And on the first day of the week, they found themselves deprived of his body. They were accused of having stolen his body. They despair of ever correcting the false impression that were gaining against them. But it seems as the story being told by the people about what happened on that day of the resurrection was grieving the disciples. They were really distressed. They were really uncertain to what was happening, devastated because of the social meaning of the death of Jesus, embarrassed, greatly criticized, ashamed of what happened and what they were going to face later. So they departed. They left. They scattered. They got divided. They didn't know, their patience ran out. They didn't know what to do with themselves and with each other. It seems as the church that Christ established was being shattered in pieces. And at that moment, everybody was on its own. You know, suffering happens in several ways in the human life. And it happens to Christian, and it happens to non-Christian. Suffering by loss of health, it has no level. It happens to everyone, to anybody. Physical pain, illness, accident, loss of functions, suffering by deprivation, the lack of something that is basic for, such as food, shelter, clothing, transportation, suffering from the weather, freezing weather condition, hot weather condition like we have it now. So people go through a lot of stuff. Some other go through mental anguish, worry, sorrowful, fear, phobias, bitterness, jealousy, and of course, much more happen. But I want you to read now those few verses, because the disciple of Jesus could well identify themselves with so much of that. What was going on? What was going in their mind? Imagine this guy has offered you everything. You have already spent 3.5 years walking, driving every street with this guy, doing everything that he asked you to do, even going into places that you have never gone before. And then he gets killed. Put yourself there so you will understand the disciple. I would like to read Luke chapter verses 13 in the same chapter 24. Just keep your Bible open. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. It appeared that they were talking together all these things which had happened, and they were, so it was while they conversed, they were reasoning that Jesus himself came near and went with them. I want you to see now what is happening here. In verse 15, it appears that Jesus came by while they were talking on the same day when they have been having a conversation of the distress and the unfortunate situation that happened to them. Jesus came to them on the same day. And he said to them, "My grace is sufficient to thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You see, my brothers and sisters, it is on the same day. When you are perhaps finding no reason for living, that Christ walks with you and say, "I am the way, the truth, and life." It is the same day when your heart is sad. It's the same day when your heart is broken that Christ gets closer to you. It's the same day when you are let go from your job that he is present there. It's the same day when you are diagnosed with cancer in your body. It's the same day when he said to you, "I am the great physician." It is the same day when you are tempted and ready to quit. When you say, "You know what? I'm gone. I'm done with this. I'm done with these people. This is it." It's the same day when the disciples were walking. They look at the inside the tomb. The body is not there. It's no longer in the cross. Jesus is not even on the street preaching as he used to. They are not hearing the words of Jesus coming out anymore, giving the promises that he was given to. They didn't see him any longer feeding the multitude. So their heart was distressed. You know, some tragedies and trials are so great that we cannot even attempt to make it in our own. We cannot. I'm going to ask Janica to come, because how wonderful is to know that when we cannot stand up, on that same day, Jesus stand up for us. The writer of the song, "Just When I Need Him Most," William Paul, a Methodist minister from Delaware, he wrote the lyrics of this song, very famous Christian song, "Just When I Need Him Most." And it's 512 in your hymn book. He wrote this song when he was in the middle of the most difficult situation in his life. His wife had just died. 2 weeks later, two of his children were killed in a car accident. And he sat down in the porch of his house and wrote the words of this song. "Just when I need him, Jesus is there." Let us sing the first and second stanza of that song.
Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to share. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him, Jesus is true. Never forsaken all the way through, giving for burden pleasures anew. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most.
I'd like to share a personal story with you, because that story is exactly just when I needed Jesus most. When I went to, perhaps some of you might have heard some of that story, but in my second year in college, just about when I was to start doing all my pastoral practices, I was working as a student there and in my college. And one day, just before the spring break, I received a letter from the account department telling me that I have to leave the school on the following Monday when the spring break starts, and I will not be able to return and take my tax. Of course, is because I have too much debt in the college. That was a Wednesday night, and I didn't know what to do, but I went to prayer meeting. And in prayer meeting, it was not enough for me. So I went into the farm deep in college. They have an orange grove there. And I went inside the orange grove. I walked like maybe 30, 50 yards inside the grove. And I found a little place there with a big stone, and I sat down there. And while I was sitting down, I wasn't really feeling sorry for myself. I was upset with God. Do you know when you did not put yourself into something, right? And all of a sudden you find yourself being blamed for everything wrong that is going with this. Okay? Your boss call you, right? And make you supervisor now. Okay? And everything that is going bad with the job now is your fault, because you're the supervisor. God called me to ministry. He sent me to the school against my own will. Yes, that's how it is. When it's his will, it's against yours if you are not with it. So I go to college there, and then I am greatly embarrassed, because to receive a letter in front of the rest of the student body, you know, they go to you in the cafeteria. So when they are giving those letters, everybody who receive one, they know that, hey, you got to pay. I went through all of that embarrassment. And when I was down there under that orange tree, I said to the Lord, "Lord, you brought me here. Why don't you pay? Why don't you pay the bill?" Of course, the conversation was a little longer than that. Next morning, I went back to work. I was working in the maintenance department. I fix everything that comes in front of me in college. So from electronic all the way to all the machine in the bakery. So that morning at 10 o'clock, the phone in the maintenance department rang. And the secretary in the department took the phone and said, "Elias, this call is for you." And I answered the phone and say, "Who is this?" And I say, "Okay, it's from the front desk. There is somebody here looking for you." When I went down to the front desk, I went up. It took me a few minutes to get there. There was this lady that I have never seen before. And she came and she said, "My son, Elias." And I said, "Wow, amazing. I didn't know my mother." And I say, "Okay, how are you? And who are you?" And they say, "Well, you don't remember me. But 2 years ago, my husband and I were in your home church. And you were preaching that day. And my husband and I decided that we were going to start putting some money aside to help you. And today I'm coming because we have gathered some money, so we wanted to bring it to you so you can pay for your school." I could not say more, and I had to leave the place because I could not talk. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know that it was going to be so sudden, and I perhaps miscalculated the power of Jesus. I didn't know he could answer so quickly. And I didn't know he had so much money either. Because when she said to me the amount that she had, it was enough for me to pay that year, the rest of that year, and the following year. I mean, you can pay school fee over there in my country, $3,000 for a whole year for a student. She brought money. One thing I never happened is that I did not stop working. So when I finished college, my fourth year, all the money that was in my account, I couldn't get it because it was hours that I paid for. They will not give it to me cash. I have to transfer it to another student. And that was okay for me. But you know, if I were preaching this sermon and I didn't have a story to relate, it would be really bad. Because it is when you need Jesus the most that he comes closer to you. I have a couple more stories that I'm going to share with you. When I started ministry, by now you should figure it out. I grew up in a very, very poor family. I have to go to school, okay, in the morning, and my brother has to wait for me to come back so he can use my shoes to go to school. Okay? So, when I finished ministry, college, I received a call to work in a mission field. It was not a conference yet. It was just a mission field. So they were struggling, but that's what I like. That's what I wanted to do. And I went to the mission field. I started there. The first week, we lived there close to the capital. We didn't have beds. And by the way, you cannot just simply walk like to a Walmart and buy an airbed over there. That's kind of a luxury to do it. So, didn't have a bed. We were just simply putting a blanket on the floor and we lie down there for about 2 weeks. My brother was working in a place that they make beds. So he talked to his boss and he got a bed for me. Well, it was three of us pastoring and living in the same little apartment. So I have to take the bed and split it. So we put the mattress and the base together and we were sleeping like this. You know how? You see the mattress is soft. So the torso and the head was in the soft part and the foot were in the hard part of the bed. So we were just sleeping across there. Here's the story. We didn't have money either. And one Friday, I went to the president of the mission and I said to him, we just came here, we've been here for 2 weeks. We don't have money to pay the car to take us to the district. We don't have money to buy any food for the weekend. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Some president can be cruel. He told me to come back Monday so that he can give us some money. And I said, okay, thank you. I'll come back Monday. I didn't say anything else. But I went back to the apartment and I pray and I pray and I pray. The next morning, we are hungry. We went to bed hungry. We were going to church hungry. When I opened the door, there was a cup with something on the top, and there was a piece of bread wrapped in a paper towel right there. And there was a hot chocolate on that cup. That happens on that Sabbath. I took it, I drank my hot chocolate, and I ate my piece of bread. Of course, you say, what happened to the other two guys? Well, we split that in three. The next Sabbath, the same hot chocolate, the same bread. It was not too long ago that I heard what happened. Behind the building that we were living, there was a Christian lady. And she realized that the three of us were pastors. And somewhat having a mother sense, she realized that we were not really having everything that we needed. And she started feeding us. That lady, my two other friends, they call her the ravens that fed Elias. My brothers and sisters, it is when you need Jesus the most that he is going to provide for you. It is when the moment comes when you are short of cash, short of breath, short of hope, short of friends, short of anything, that he draw himself near to you. I have to say that there are many stories that I can share with you that goes like this. But I want to play that other stanza of the song and let us sing it together. Just when I need him, he is my all.
I need him, he is my all. Answering when upon him I call, tenderly watching, lest I should fall. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and share. Just when I need him most.
Often we have different moods when we are dealing with problems and challenges. And in verse 17, he say to the disciple, what kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad. You see, having conversation is not a problem. Walking with other people is not a problem. The problem is when our conversation is sad, when everything that we're saying is negative. And Christ found those disciples in the middle of their distress, adding more distress to their distress. You know, stay away from negative people. There are people who are so negative that they will have a problem to every solution. And they were walking, going in the way of Emmaus. And Christ came by, and they were still talking, having this sad phase, this conversation. Did you see what happened? They nailed him on the cross, and then they put him in the tomb, and then you could feel the devil surrounding that place. I can imagine they are talking about this. But Christ come by, he talks to them, he cheered them up. And when everything was done, in verse 32, he say, and they say to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture? A couple things here. There is hope in the scripture. When your heart is sad, when there is no food, when there is no joy, when you have lost your loved one, there is words of hope in the Bible. I look at what happened in our country today. I look at what happened. So much perplexity, so much distress. And yet, people are not running towards God. They're running away from God. But we, my brothers and sisters, we have this hope in Jesus. We've been called to point people to the Bible, to point people to the Word of God. This is the only place where they can find relief for their stress. This is the only place where they find joy. This is the only place that they can find certainty. This is the only place where they can find salvation. And you know how fast they can find it? The same day. The same day when they are in perplexity. Because I am holding to the promises. From Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in his glory by Jesus Christ. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Praise God. Fear not, for I am with you. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hands of my righteousness. Another wonderful promise is Isaiah verse 54 verse 7 say, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue which raises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. But I will deliver you in that day, Jeremiah 39, verse 17 and 18. The Lord say, and you shall not be given into the hands of the man of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you because you have put, what? Your trust in me. My friends, my brothers and sisters, I will fail today if I don't tell you to put your trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter how deep that hill might be. Maybe you don't have your training wheels in your bicycle. Maybe you don't know how to use the brakes yet, but trust in the Lord. Trust in the power of His might. For therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 13, one of the most powerful promises in the Bible, says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Just when I need him, Jesus is true, never forsaken all the way through, given for burden, pleasures as new, just when I need him most. What a blessing is to have God in our side. What a blessing is to trust him. What a blessing is to walk with him. What a blessing is to just let go and let him hold you. What a blessing is to be on his side today. I want you to stand and let us sing together the closing song, 512, Just When I Need Him Most.
Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to share. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most. Just when I need him most, Jesus is there to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him, Jesus is true, never forsaken all the way through. Giving for burden, pleasures as new, just when I need him most. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him, Jesus is strong, bearing my burden all the day long. For all my sorrows, giving a son. Giving a son. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most.
Before we sing the last stanza, and while the piano still plays softly, I have to tell you the second story. Many years ago, my wife and I were dealing with a health issue that she had while she had our first son. She was having some pain in the right leg. We went through many doctors. They took many x-ray, MRI, and lots of stuff. We ended up in Altamont Spring in the Florida hospital because the doctors have said, we don't know what is wrong. You got to go and do something. We didn't end up there before. One doctor have said to us that there was a probability of cancer on the bone in that leg. We were completely distressed. Our hearts were torn in pieces because she was perhaps just about 28 years old, when maybe younger, when a doctor is diagnosing her that she had some kind of bone cancer, a tumor. We went to Altamont Spring and I find a place to lodge in there. And that morning, a lady that used to work there, that was a kind of volunteer position, Phillips, her name, she came and she prayed with us. And as I was walking outside, I hear the voice of God that says, 305. I said, 305 for what? 305. Turn through your hymnal and find what hymn 305 is. So we stop on my way and we sing that song. Give me Jesus. You may have all the word, but give me Jesus. We sang that song before we went to the first appointment. That day they took 18 x-ray from different position, pictures. Later on, 3 o'clock in the evening, the doctor called us back. So we went to his room and he has all the pictures, the x-rays on the wall. And he showed us everything and he said, there is nothing here. There is nothing in this bone. Nothing. Then he said, just go ahead. Maybe what you need, just... We were living in the Turks and Caicos Island at that time, working in a mission. That mission place was like a conference, but it was a mission. We didn't have running water or anything. We have to buy water in truck to fill our tank. And the roads were dirt road with stones, so she couldn't walk and run and exercise. So the doctor said to us, just buy a treadmill before you go home. And go and pay your bill. When we walk to the cashier, can somebody tell me here how much was my bill? 305. $305. That was my bill. And I turn again and I say, thank you, Jesus. Because I don't need anything else but you. Give me Jesus. I don't know if it's too much to ask. But if there is anybody here this morning that has been going through some kind of perplexity in your life, some kind of distress, you have lost somebody, or you've been going through some kind of illnesses or something, or you have just have a bad day, but you want me to pray for you today, I want to invite you to come as we sing this song. Give me Jesus. Just come. Just come. Just come.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you may have all this world, give me Jesus.
There is somebody else. There is one more person. Just walk. Walk for Jesus. You will never walk alone. You will never go through your problems alone. The promise is there. It says that even when my father and my mother forsake me, God will never forsake me. He will take me up. Just walk. And I would like to pray with you. Just trust in Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Always on earth going to die. Always or I come to to thy, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you
gracious God, my Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything you have done in my life. I thank you for every gift. I thank you for every trial. I thank you for every temptation. I thank you for every victory. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for every step that you have walked with me. I thank you for every single prayer that you have answered. And I trust you, Lord. I trust you so much that I will just let myself go and let you hold my hold. Thank you, Father, because this morning we have felt your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because today we trust you more. We know, Lord, that your promises are true, and we will depend on those promises every day long. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your care. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for everything that you have done and for every good gift. I pray, Lord, for those who are going through a difficult time today. I pray for those who are walking and talking in sadness. I pray for those, Lord, whose life has been affected in why we're in one way or the other by evil. I ask, Lord, that you will extend your hands of mercy, that you will touch every life that is here today. And before we leave here today, I pray, Lord, that they will be assisted by you, that they will receive your healing, that they will receive your touch, so that they will trust in the power of your love. I ask, Lord, that as we leave this place, we will say bye to this place, but never to your presence. I ask that you will be with us. And when you come in your glory, Lord Jesus, save a place for us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.